You know who this is. Welcome to the Pure Individual Podcast.
Welcome back, Balia.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Well, I know that a lot of individuals like to listen to our episodes. I would say just overall anybody that wants a mutation, because we're purely mutative. So I want to know, what is coming up for you? What do you want to externalize? You want to externalize anything on men and women, sexuality, masculine, yeah. Feminine?
There's so much.
New age. What do you want to, where do you want to see the direction?
Man. Yeah, I feel like individuality. Like, I feel like I couldn't talk enough about that. And yeah, masculine, feminine is definitely in my sphere right now. I feel like things come at different times. So right now, there's a lot of relational things, projector things. Really, I feel like I'm becoming so much more aware of when things are correct and when they're not. Like, in my own mutative process, I've gone through so much. There's like what I want to be true, and then there's what is true. And a relationship I would like to have in my life, and then what relationships actually are correct for me and which ones are challenging. You know, like what pulls and what distracts me. And it's often not what I think it's going to be. You know, so there's so much of just like being with the moment of what's right here and what's actually correct versus what I want things to be.
There's a massive, you know, feminization of men in Western civilization, and that's a problem. that's a massive problem. And people don't want to talk about that, of course. There are, you know, we do know a few that we'll have that conversation, a few other projectors that'll have that conversation, but there's a massive disparity between, I wouldn't say disparity, but the difference between how many projectors are awake in the first place, but how many are even interested in design that are men as opposed to women. I mean, we're not even at 20%. You know, not even 20% of men are interested in design. And that makes complete sense, because you don't change the world through men. You change the world through women. You change the world through mothers. So it totally makes sense geometry-wise. But I think that that is something that is going to be difficult for a lot of projectors, specifically women, that want a type-for-type relationship. Yeah. So it's very slim. There's a very slim selection. If I think about it, there's like, on one hand, how many male projectors, how many men I would ever set up with somebody in my network.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. And timing, I feel we're not in charge of that. You know, I think there's a lot of women who feel ready for a relationship and they're like, where is he? Where is it? The timing's going to come when it's going to come. And you're not wrong about the men. Yeah. I think they're on a whole other time, the timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll probably have their wake up when they have to survive in 20 months. I hope that that's when they have their wake up. But no, it's a, for me, you know me, ever since you've known me, you've known that the difficulty for me has always been the hyper-independence.
Yeah.
You know, we've got two pieces that are working not against each other, because they're producing each other. The feminization of men has produced the hyper-independence of women. And that's a difficult thing to deal with if you are a man that is competent. I wouldn't say, I don't like to say masculine man, because I very much subscribe to Jungian ideology. philosophy. And in that, the most masculine men have feminine spirits, and the most feminine women have masculine spirits. You've got anima and animus. So I don't like to say that I'm masculine, but it's a problem that we face when we look at a large population of men that don't know how to defend women, aren't ready to step into that role. Not that women can't defend themselves. I mean, anybody that knows anything about me, I fought in women's revolution. Women can very much defend themselves, but genetically, that's not the role, right? That's not something that I should have to do. And so it's definitely a concern. Moving into the future, it's definitely a concern. It was something that Barbara Ditlow said to me, because me and her have these conversations all the time. She's actually said a lot to me about it. But one thing that she said to me was, I don't know what all these women are going to do that don't think that they need men. I don't know what they're going to do after 2027. And she's like, I don't know how anything's going to pan out with the conditioning and the feminization, because there needs to be a whole reteaching of the population of men. And, you know, we'll just narrow it down to design, because after 2027, that's really who everybody's going to be interacting with. We'll be their fractal. We're not going to be interacting with the not self world outside of, you know, guidance and work stuff. So in a lot of ways, so there's a lot of work to be done there. And that has to do with men. You know, it's not something, it's a sociological issue. Just like misogyny is a sociological issue. It can only be solved by men, but that's quite a task. And it is always timing, you know? So it's like, I'm sure that there are, because 87% of my audience is women. There's probably quite a bit of women that'll hear this podcast that you're waiting. Waiting for the right, not even the right person, but whoever's correct for you at whatever point in time.
Yeah. I think some of it too is that the hyper-independence comes from a reactionary place. So if you're in reaction, you can't fully be available to receive something, you know, so that kind of has to balance out before that can really land, because there's a time and a place for independence. But if it's coming from a place of reaction, it's not going to be the other side of what you want.
Yeah. And the not self is reactionary, inherently reactionary. So that's what I've observed in my process when it comes to women, is the reactionary behavior happens through the not self. It doesn't happen through the true self.
Yeah.
And so that reaction to needing the control, right? Which is all understandable. That's the thing, is it's all understandable. If you take away, if you destroy masculinity and decent men, because if you do that, then you can dismantle. I mean, you can dismantle everything by that, really. So when that is slowly dismantled over time, and that forces women to be hyper-independent, right? Because they can't rely on men to protect them. Like, they really can't. And now, this is a very biased perspective, because I am who I am, and my idea of protection is very extreme. So some of them can, but just not by my standards. And yeah, it's a largely a program thing, right? And a society thing, and a institutional power thing to keep things separate. You know, it's like you can't go online without seeing the not self of men and women going to war and blame, because blame is really the number one not self drug. Yeah, it's difficult to watch. And when you're in design, you have to watch the not self world. It can be difficult to just surrender to it and watch what shows up. Because you can go through the deconditioning process, you can go long periods of time alone or in isolation. I've gone through years of being alone and in isolation, and also years in relationship. There's a trust that has to be there. But I think it's really difficult. In particular, I think it's difficult for men and women in different ways. It's different. It's difficult in different ways. It's pretty much proven that psychologically, women can do just fine without men. Men, that's not the case. Men cannot psychologically be okay without women. That's pretty much a fact. Not only just pretty much a fact, I know from my own experience, a man will crumble without women. And so that's also something that we run into is we have to see how we can bring this awareness to the forefront so that along fractal lines, things can have a better chance of lining up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have men who deeply need women, but then how are they treating the women? And then what is that communion? Like, they're not even in communion. It's all seven-centered. So I think the biggest thing is recognizing like true self and not self, and not getting caught up in any of the mechanics, really. Like for women who are dating or anyone, it's not about, oh, well, he's a projector, so this. It's like, is he true self? Who is the person in front of you? Like put the chart down for a second and actually have awareness and feel, who is this person? Because they could have the most perfect chart at circuitry and it looks really good. And oh my gosh, I'm a fourth line. He's a fourth line. That's great. But what is it really?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think a really important thing that needs to be heard is that because we live in a society where men have been feminized, you actually can't expect them to take masculine action if they don't know that they can take masculine action. You know, if a woman expects a man to pursue her, but she gets the ick when she gets approached by men, that's not going to work out. Now, I have an advantage because I never approach women. As a projector, I never approach women. You know this. you know that you've got to get in my DMs. You've got to, but I see that as a massive problem because so many men, first off, they've been feminized and they don't realize it. And that's not to like be degrading or humiliating or anything like that. If you don't know any better, if you don't grow up in a family, you know, I have the benefit of growing up in a warrior family, a warrior class family on both sides. I have the benefit of being a natural. I have the benefit of my experiences. But when I look largely at men in Western civilization, they don't have that. I'm very much an exception. And so I actually see it with a lot of compassion because you can be told to pursue. You can be told that you need to protect and provide. And that can very much not be seen as enough, even if it's your best. So I think there's a really big misunderstanding of expectations. And expectations are a fucking problem because when there's expectations, there can't really be understanding, frankly. You know, because you have to understand where somebody's coming from. If you just expect something from them, but you don't know their situation, you don't know enough about them, then we get this culture of all this bullshit. You know, ghosting, emotional avoidance. We get all this culture that's just like, I don't want to deal with it. It's too much. And when I look at it, the lens through, when I'm just through probability, trying to understand how these men feel. I mean, I think that a lot of them feel like they're not there yet because in The masculine realm, something that has to be understood, is that from the moment that you're born, you're in competition. The moment that you're born, you are either, you're disposable, first off. The moment that you're born, you're disposable. Women aren't disposable. Men are disposable. And you're conditioned that if you don't put food on the table, if you aren't materially successful, that you're essentially worthless. And so internally, from a psychological perspective, a lot of men do feel like that. They don't show it, but they do feel like that. It really is tragedy. And I know, because I've felt like that before in my life when I was younger at different points. And that's a massive one. We don't run into the issue so much when it comes to the protecting, because that's been so removed from Western, you know. That is I see some of those expectations as major issues. And from a nine-centered perspective, you just remove the expectations and accept somebody for who they are, it eliminates these problems. I'm very much giving these examples for the not self.
Yeah. I think that with men, the biggest thing that I see is that the men who are at least trying, like, because there's a different caliber of man, right? But the men who are actively like, I want partnership, I desire a woman, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm in that in between. What I notice is that they're thinking too much about what to do and not as much about how to be. So they get tripped up in their mind when sometimes it is more simple. But I think with men, they want to be the pursuer and they want to be the doer and they want to, like, you know, often it's like pushing with men. Push, get what you want. This is like, I'm in the doing mode. But there is that space where it's like they need to be with what is first before they could be in the strategy of how to do it. And I think a lot of it is that they don't know that what they're doing isn't working. And a lot of it with men, I see they keep doing the same thing, wondering why they're not getting where they need to go. You know, I see this a lot with men. And sometimes I'm like, wow, actually this one thing, if you adjusted this one thing, the results would be so different. But you can't actually see the way that you're being perceived and how the feminine is receiving that. It takes honest reflection. And a lot of people don't give that because either they're avoidant, they're running away, they get the ick, something, you know, or people don't know how to be honest. How do you give an honest reflection and honest feedback that's not distorted? Mind you, because, right, it's like one person approaches and then the person who's receiving it is also in the not self. And then what comes back from that? And then you're just kind of like throwing not self at each other, wondering what's going on.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, that's one of the other major dilemmas is as you know, like, the not self relationship. And it can be a true self relationship if you enter into it correctly. If you don't enter into it correctly, then it is a not self relationship. Even if they're in design, it's a not self relationship if you don't enter into it correctly. It can very much be correct for you to be with somebody who's not self. It can be. However, I would say that the controls of the game are much tighter for projectors, because it has been said that the only solution for getting lost in the other, which is what we do as projectors, is to get lost in a correct other. So we don't have the same free range that the other types have, frankly. We really don't. And once something is really established, you know, I see partnerships and marriages that have been established for a long time, and the deconditioning process happens and it actually gets better. I've seen marriages, I have been told that I've saved people's marriages. I've seen things go in a really good way, even if one partner is not self. But for everybody that's doesn't have a monogamous partner that's listening to this, especially if you're a projector, you have a much higher probability waiting things out for the correct partner, for the correct lover, no matter what that dynamic is, as opposed to trying to find it. I mean, you can't find anything as a projector, you know? You can't. And really, it's all geometry. And when it comes to men, so many of them don't know what they need to do to provide what they're here to provide genetically. That's what it comes down to for me. There's a lot of different ideas and different ideologies in this world. For me personally, it comes down to genetics. Personality crystal doesn't have a gender, right? The personality crystal doesn't have any of that. But there are ways that we're wired. That's something that has to be embraced, and that's a scary thing for a lot of men. You know, it's like, how many men in the West, you know, you tell them that they need to learn how to use a firearm, and they're like, well, no, I'm not a violent person. It's like, and okay, what are you going to do if somebody's coming to commit sexual violence against your partner? What are you going to do? You know, I think there's a reality that hasn't set in. And I would like that reality to set in sooner rather than later. Same thing with the women in my network, my confidants. You know, when they're involved with somebody that I know can't do the job, I'm just immediately concerned. And that's a majority of the time. Majority, you know, that's a majority of men. It's difficult. It's definitely difficult. It's like one of those things where it's almost like the projector process of admitting that you don't know. You know, the projector process of admitting you don't know everything, admitting that your intelligence isn't going to get you everywhere. A man has to go through that process of admitting to himself, I need to learn how to do this. I need to learn how to protect. And there's also the providing piece. I think for myself, something I've had to do a lot of work on is not attaching so much of my identity to being a provider. Because that in the race and competition of masculinity, the not self can really muck things up. It can really keep a man from taking action because he doesn't feel like he's there yet. You know, and in today's world, feeling like you're there yet, I'm very fortunate to be in the position that I'm in. But a majority of men are not. And I think there's a lot of suppression that's there. And it's such a catch-22 because you never do well as a man materially. You never do as well. Okay. You can do well, but you never do as well when you don't have a woman in your life. That's just the way that it is. It's the way that it's always been. And so it's one of those things where it's like people really have to come together and be open to who's along their line of geometry, to who's there. Because it's not about what's possible. It's about what's supposed to be there for you. And then a lot of development can happen because we don't develop ourselves so much without the other. That's a massive... massive lie perpetuated by the New Age world. You know, you need to be healed. You need to be with a healed man, or you need to be with a healed woman. No, because you don't get healed in isolation. You don't get recalibrated. You don't decondition in isolation. I mean, I know I'm a shores person. I'm a pure individual. I could spend a lot of time alone. The magic doesn't happen alone. Not really. So I don't even think it's a matter of compromise. I think it's actually short-sighted and reductive to see things as compromise, because they need to be seen as understanding, you know, you accepting the other person for who they are, because that's true love. You know, nine-centered love is accepting the other person as they are, and you accept them as, you know, they accept you as you are, and then you come together and see what happens. All of these preconditions and checklists and all of that, it's one of the reasons why we have so much intimacy issues.
Yeah.
Among Gen X and millennials and Gen Z. Like,
well, there's a lot of traps. I mean, that one you just said of like, you have to be perfectly resolved, perfectly anything. It's one of the many traps, and it's so easy to fall into it, especially if you have an undefined ego. Yeah. And it's a great way to waste your time and your attention.
Yeah. And even for ego beings, you know how many, I know a lot of ego beings that try to prove the wrong things.
Yes.
You're concerned with proving the wrong things. And if you're concerned with proving the wrong things, you miss everything else.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way. There has to be a way as creative role models that we can we can steer fractal lines in an example of direction. There's so much just noise, I think, too. Like people are absorbing so much not self noise. Because frankly, if you're not self, you can't be honest in a relationship, period. Because you're communicating with your mind. And we're not here to communicate with our minds. We're here to communicate with our throat centers. What you say from your mind can't actually be true because the mind isn't honest. You have to communicate from your throat center. You have to use your voice. The moment that somebody's formulating what they're going to say and thinking about what they say before they say it, you can't be honest. The only way that you can be honest in communication with somebody else is by allowing your throat center to express whatever it's there to express. And so to be honest in relationship requires correctness.
Yeah, but people can't be honest about the fact that they can't be honest. So it's a little tricky. I know so many people, they're like, oh yeah, I'm totally honest. Oh, I'm this. I was like, well, are you honest with yourself though? Because you can't be honest with me if you cannot be honest with yourself.
Yeah. And that's exactly where it starts. When we look at the undefined solar plexus, the avoiding truth and confrontation starts with avoiding truth and confrontation with yourself, not with the other. People think that it just has to do with the other person. No, the issue started with yourself, not being honest with yourself. And so, yeah, it starts with that self-honesty. You know, can you be honest with yourself if you start asking yourself questions that are really, you know, that are difficult?
Yeah.
Like, are you in this relationship just because you have a spleen addiction, right? It's like, we both know that one.
All too well.
That kind of, the honesty factor is so important. Because that's really the foundation for any relationship.
Wow. Yes.
Last year, that was something that came up. We were talking about non-emotionals and emotionals in relationship and just relationships in general. Was the foundation for a relationship is trust. No matter who you are, that's really the foundation for a relationship. Of course, it's more important to fourth lines and first lines than probably anybody. Six lines too, but you know, fourth lines and first lines, the stability factor. But yeah, if you can't have the trust, if you can't be honest, then can have a true self relationship. And that starts with you. It starts with yourself. Can you accept blame? I've learned so much in my relationship since I've been in my process, and I haven't had a not self relationship for over 7 years now. 2018, 2019, I was on operations and I came home. And then right as I came home, I was introduced to design. And it's very clear to me that the true self relationship, entering into that and being in it, you know, entering in it correctly, being in it, exiting it correctly, it takes some serious self reflection. You know, there's not a relationship dynamic that I've had in my life that I haven't looked back on over the past, since I guess 2018, but since I've been in my process since 2019, that I'm not like, okay, I could have done better there. And at the same time, I can look and see that I didn't have the awareness maybe at the time, but I could, you know, I'm not going to do that again. I can do better there. And that's something also that people deeply do not want to do. People want to blame. It's this blame game. It's the number one not self drug, right? To have a true self relationship is to have a true self romantic relationship is to have a romantic relationship with somebody that is going to hold themselves accountable for what they do. That can't happen if somebody's out of their authority, really.
Yeah. The majority of people are not self. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the majority of people are in the blame game. And I feel like with that, it's important to have the right friendships around you who can call you out and hold you accountable just as much, because it's very easy to blame. And then you have, who are the people who are listening? And then they're like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. It's like, you know, the real ones can say, hey, babe, are you a little bitter right now? Hey, you know, like real friends. Yeah. It's because relationship, it's not just intimate. It's communion.
It's not just sexual, and really the foundation of any nine-centered relationship is not sexual, but especially when we look at non-energy types, especially when we look at projectors. And we know, I mean, we both know, you know, we both know this about each other. We don't feed each other's delusions. You know, that's something that's so important. We, as a generation, millennials and Generation Z, really feed each other's delusions. Really gas each other up. And you can't do that if you actually, I mean, you can gas somebody up. You can, you know, we're pure individuals. We empower, you know, we give people power. You can definitely do that, but it's disempowering to not tell somebody that you love where they're fucking up.
Yes.
You know, where they're missing something. I check the people I love in my life, and they check me too. It's important, because so much, now that it's coming through me, so much about your romantic relationships in your life have to do with your non-romantic relationships in life. Because if you don't have healthy non-romantic relationships in your life, you're missing a component in a lot of ways. And you're missing especially for the projector, because you're missing a component of what's actually happening being reflected back to you, because we get lost in people. You know, you're a projector and you're in a relationship and it's not a good relationship, but you're lost in that person, and you don't have good friends to say, yeah, actually, you know, you're not seeing this where this is going on. And I don't mean triangulation or interfering or anything like that, but you could very much be lost in the wrong relationship, the wrong romance, and get stuck in that, get lost in that. That's a big one now that it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have that, you're honestly screwed. Yep. But that is real communion. Like a real friend to say, you know, I'm power of you, but another power of you friend. This is where you're winning. This is where you're losing. Like, you are not seeing clearly. And I think it's also important in the beginning, when you're first really developing that awareness, because it's like, let's say you kind of just became aware. You're new to design, or you're starting to get there. It's an interesting road to keep going without the right people to reflect certain things, because then you get to see where you are on the map of, oh, this is me when I'm bitter. This is me in distraction. This is me here. This is me transferred. Otherwise, how do you know, especially if you're a projector, how do you actually know where you are on the map without an honest reflection initially?
Yeah, there's not a way to know. And you need your friends, and you also need another projector. You need a projector that you pay. You need your friends, or you need your confidants, and you also need another projector that you pay, that can give you the objective guidance through a projected channel that has received energy, because there is a difference. It's so interesting to think about, like, our network, who's in our network, our networks, and how those have evolved. I know in my network, there's nobody that doesn't take accountability. I know at one point in my network, there were you know, there were purges that did have to happen. The relationships in our lives.
Yeah. And your friends aren't your therapists. So as you say, you need someone who you pay for guidance. It is different. Because also your friends will get sick of you. You cannot keep going to the friends about certain things. Yeah, because also they're not going to be objective in every instance.
Yeah.
And that's okay. They're not meant to be. It's
And they'll give you what they can, but you really do. I mean, I go to a projector that is a confidant that I love. And it's a very different conversation. Like, it's very different when I give the material resources to her definition and I'm getting the outer authority. It's very different from us on a phone call, because that's the way it works. And this comes back to projector hubris. You can't do this without some vulnerability, because you can't see your own stuff. Can't see it.
Yeah. And it's hard to be vulnerable, especially if you've had to be strong for so long. I feel like life gives the lessons sometimes. If you can't do it, it'll be like, here you go. Forces intervene.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's also, you know, it's something that has to be learned in a lot of ways too, because you can't have intimacy without vulnerability. This is something that I've had to learn. Not that I've had issues with being vulnerable, because I've actually never really had issues with that. I've always been very emotional, always been very in tune with my solar plexus. I even made decisions with my solar plexus before design. All my major decisions, I really did wait out my wave. I've always been in tune there. But the after heartbreak, the hardening of the heart, the walls going up, you know, I can look back at points in my process, and my heart was super hardened at points in my process where I thought that I was emotionally available, and I was not. I was not. And now I have to look at that, and it's like, I have to take accountability for it. I have to take accountability for the situations where my heart was super hardened, or I wasn't emotionally available, even though I thought that I was. Have to have vulnerability, definitely, to have intimacy. And that's a massive problem, because so many people think intimacy is physical. You know, like, sex isn't actually intimate, not really. Not without emotional connection. I mean, this is proven neurochemically. Right. So there has to be that. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just mammalian function and not self-damage. You know, the seven year reality.
Yeah. It's the entering of the relationship. It's the during. It's also the exiting. Like, communion is all the way through. I see a lot of people, they might get the first part, but in the end, can you really honor somebody else's authority? Somebody doesn't choose you. They got to go. How are you going to handle that? Easy for the blame game to come in. Easy for the not self mind. And it's like, where is your pain? You know, can you really just be with, okay, so this person is making this choice. How does that make me feel? Instead of right away, they're wrong. Right away, oh, you're going to choose something else. Well, da da da. Can you just be with it?
Yeah. Can you sit down and cordially say that, you know, this is not working for me anymore? I mean, me being emotional, it's a whole ordeal, because it's not something that I'm just like feeling in my authority. It's something I'm feeling over time. It's something that I'm feeling over 3 months. Am I going to exit this? Yeah. I have emoting, so it could just be a love, you know, it could be a lover, or it could be a monogamous partner, either way. And I have to go through this whole wave process. And once I get to that wave process, once I get to clarity that either I'm exiting this, or if it's If it's fourth lining, then it's okay, we're changing the relationship dynamic. That's really easy, but because there's not really an exit of the relationship when it comes to fourth lines, but those other relationships, when I'm going through the wave process and then it's time to exit, it's for the other if they're not emotional. That there's no way of working it out really unless it's over time. And then it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, my authority is a no. Could that change? Yeah, over time, over 3 to 6 months, over a year, it could change. And then from there, I have to see if that's correct.
Yep.
I'm respecting those wishes.
And for me, I'm not emotional. So my decisions can come more quickly. And then if I'm with an emotional, they're like, wait, I haven't ridden my wave on your decision. It's like, you don't have to. My decision is my decision. It's not yours to ride your wave on. Can you honor me all the way through? You know, I think it's so easy in the beginning, especially if people have a little bit of design. Oh, okay, I can do that. Honor, strategy, authority. Okay, got it. What does it actually mean to do that? In communion.
Honoring somebody else's authority. I mean, that's the make or break. That's the make or break, because you can't be clean in a relationship without honoring the other person's authority. You can't. It's very difficult for me being emotional, because it doesn't create a problem. It doesn't create a dilemma if the other person is aware. But it is a massive layer, you know, it's a massive layer. If there's a conflict, I'm still riding my wave after the conflict, and I might come back 2 weeks later and I'm like, yeah, actually that was fucked up and I'm not okay with it. And we got to rehash that out. That's what it is. That's the price of being in relationship with somebody that's emotional. And when it comes to the other authorities, I mean, it's always kind of a joke for me when it's the other authorities, with the exception of mental projectors, because I'm aware that it could just change at any moment. Yeah, they can have their ego projected, or they could have their splenic response, or they could feel a pull in their G. And there's nothing to do other than honor that. It's like, do you love somebody enough to honor their authority? That's what
I think. Respect. It comes down to respect. Like, do you respect them? Because respecting them is respecting their authority. And I think a lot of it, I feel, if you can understand like the mechanics of what strategy and authority is, right? It's our greatest protection that we have in the Maya. So if my authority is saying I need to go this way to honor my direction, if I were to go against that, it would actually harm me physically, energetically, spiritually, mentally. So if you cannot honor my direction has to go this way, you don't respect me. Period.
It's huge. If we look at, I'm a wide split, so you know, like two, it's like being two projectors. I'm self-projected and I'm emotional. If I don't honor my direction, that goes straight to the liver. You only get one liver. Mm-hmm. That's why defined G projectors, we have a lot of anger, because anger is stored in the liver. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a huge difference between the self-projected projector that's two centers defined and you know, the splenic projector that's two centers defined. Even though one doesn't have a motor, the liver is where anger is stored. It's identity. It's movement. And yeah, the liver is going to become unhealthy. I mean, I've watched that with myself. With my direction not being honored, my liver, like, clearly not being healthy. I'm emotional, so if spontaneity is expected in a relationship, it's going to harm my kidneys and my pancreas and eventually my lungs. These are the biological realities. You know, human design is something that is so complex and so deep. Until you look at it through the holistic lens, until you look at it in a way that your health matters and the health of another person matters, it's very difficult to be clean in relationship. You know, does the environment, if you have a lover, does their environment matter to you? Does, if these aspects of who you have a romantic relationship with aren't like at the forefront of your awareness, you still have a lot to learn. Not that I know it all, because I still have a lot to learn, but that is something that I have done very well in my relationships. I do know that. I've done well in making sure that I take care of the requirements of the design of who I love.
I think it's easy to underestimate the power of that. Like, when I love you, I'm loving you as your true self. I'm taking into consideration strategy, authority, your environment, your determination, all of that. It's like, how many relationships are pulling us into what we're not? Because unconsciously, you know, they're like, oh, you're this. I'm pulling you into the opposite environment. How much of your body has to fight against our relationships to try to hold true self when we're being pulled?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what do I have to do if you're here? Humidifiers everywhere. That's what I have to do. Yeah, that's what I have to do. There's no, and it's not a chore. It's not like, it's just that has to happen, right? That's something that has to happen. I'm low sound, you know, being low sound. Is it going to be an inconvenience to, you know, if it's going to be an inconvenience to somebody that I have a romantic relationship with, that's a fucking problem, because my health and my cognitive capacity relies on my determination. You know, these are ways that are very important. If you want to have a true self relationship, these can't be left out. And if you're a projector, this needs to be at the forefront, because you're lost in you're lost in your lover. So it needs to be at the forefront. It really is one of those ways where you can tell if somebody actually cares.
It's not mental. Like, you can't say, this is what I need for my determination, for example. I need you to honor that. They either do or they don't. I am nervous touch. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to explain to someone, I require stimulation. I'm going to eat in a certain way. If I need to stand, I'm going to stand. If I need to move around, the wrong person will not understand or respect that and will constantly try to pull me in another direction. No matter how many times I say it, it's not about explaining and communicating and educating. It's kind of there or it's not. There's a little education, but if someone doesn't actually grasp it, you can't explain true self to someone who is not self. You can't. It's the mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can do your best. They can either honor it or not. And if they can't honor your true self, there's no business being in that. It's doing more damage than anything. It's just such a large theme for me that I'm seeing. And it's because we're coming towards the end of the cycle. Such a large theme is the damage that comes from not self relationships, and that gets brought into the next one. I'll be completely clear that pretty happy that I don't bring any not self damage into relationships, because I've been, you know, clean in relationships for over a genetic cycle now. And at the same time, it like makes me very aware of that. Who's bringing what conditioning into my bond with them? Now, I'm not vain enough to think that I have control over who's in my life, but that's something that I have to be aware of that I can't ignore, especially having a projection field, because that means that, you know, realities of men and women, with the way that our bonding works, I'm going to take projection from every man that they've been with in a not self relationship over that past genetic cycle, hypergamy. Like, that's what I'm going to have to deal with. And so that's something that's been very useful for me, is understanding that, because then I can see that that has nothing to do with me. It doesn't mean that it's okay, but that's another thing that's really important. Previous partners, it's a sidebar, but it does matter. It does matter. The mind will want to discount it and brush over it and say it's okay, but it matters.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest questions to ask is, will this person respect my authority if and when I need to go? Because the damage happens when we don't leave when we need to. I mean, a huge part of it, right? Like, I can see in so many relationships, they're like, oh, I stayed too long. And I'll ask, when did you actually feel like you wanted to leave? You know, and if you would have left at that time, think of all the damage that occurred between when you actually wanted to leave and when you actually left. But it's not easy if someone is roping you in, that they're not self games, you know? Oh, don't leave because this, da, da, da. Seduction, yeah. Whatever it is, whatever it is.
Yeah, whether it's, yeah, seduction, manipulation, whatever it is, addiction to a center. Yeah, that's such a big one. And it changes the overall results in the exit, because the entry is important. Being in it is just as important as the entry, and the exit is just as important. You know, when I exit, I'm at clarity. I've probably rid my wave for 3 months. I've already gone through, and when you're emotionally, you already go through the heartbreak while you're, because you're going through the decision-making process of, are you going to exit it? Not that there's no heartbreak after that, but there's not the initial shock that another authority has, but you have to deal with this process of getting to clarity. And it's like, is that going to be respected? I mean, yeah, respect is a massive one. We as a society, Western society, there's such a lack of respect. And that directly correlates back to men and women. That directly correlates back to masculinity and femininity. Are you respectful? It's like when I see like these fucking incels in the manosphere, and they're all of their complaints about women and all of their criticisms about women. If you respect women, if you do your best to understand women, if you appreciate women, you'll have women in your life. That might be a little bit of a biased view. I am pretty. That might be a little bit of a biased view. But really, if you respect women, you do your best to understand women and to be the best man that you can be, it's a natural result. But you have to put in the work to get to that frequency and to hold that frequency. And if you can hold that frequency, I mean, it'll change. Then women have their own work to do on that end. I see it so much when it's like, where are the masculine men? Where are the, it's like, we're out here, but you're not at the frequency that's going to be able to meet us, because we're not outside. we're in different places doing different things. We're not outside. So much of it comes back to frequency, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about the not self. You can very much be your true self and still attract people that are not self, but if you want to attract somebody that's true self, you want to attract a true self partner, you have to be correct. You have to be correct.
Yeah. It reminds me that when it comes to design, it's not for the weak. Like, truly, can you, even asking, can you respect someone else as the authority of their own life? Like, the reality is that most people cannot. If they're honest with themselves, absolutely not. And it's like it's enlightened selfishness that people don't want to hear. It sounds great until you say, actually, I'm going to make a choice that you're not going to like. And then all of a sudden, where is the respect?
Yeah, entirely. And there has to be the respect for the autonomy. I mean, we're both pure individuals. And so it's easy as a pure individual to understand autonomy. It's not easy for everybody, though. You know, it's not easy for everybody. And that's also not an excuse, because to be nine-centered and to truly respect somebody, you have to respect their autonomy. And you can't be trying to control them or manipulate them or anything. And unfortunately, that is built into some designs in the not-self sense. There has to be a respect for the other's movement and what they do in life. Has to be. If there's not a genuine concern, then it's just control. You know, if you want to do something, if I have a business venture and there's not genuine concern, there's not genuine, I'm seeing this, you know, did you catch this? You know, then it's just control trying to interfere with whatever it is that I'm doing. You know, whatever my vision is, like, that's a problem, right? That true self partner is not going to have these same tendencies that the not self has. You know, the not self, unfortunately, the not self will try to control and manipulate its partner, you know, for whatever narratives are in, you know, their configuration. That's something that I see a lot, and I've also experienced to some degree. And that's the other thing, is like, we're talking about the not self, so we're not talking about who somebody really is or not. When I say these things, it's not from a place of blame, because I'm acknowledging that it's not them, it's their not self, it's not who they are as their true self. I know who I am as my not self. My not self is a horror show. I mean, everybody's is, but it's important.
Yeah. I think when people are in real communion, it's easier to have trust in the other person, because you know that they're operating from a place that is very different than manipulation, control, and you're not trying to protect yourself all the time. I think a lot of people, there's so much defensiveness because there's the not self is a horror show. So they're trying to defend themselves against, oh my gosh, like, it's rightfully so. To want to do that, but it's a whole other experience to have that trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's you can't really go back. You can't really, that is one thing about true self relationships, and especially when you end up in a true self relationship with somebody that is living their design. The refinement that, I mean, overall, the refinement that happens in our relationships, period. But once that's been experienced, for me, I'm not in control of my geometry. I don't have that vanity that I think that I get to choose, you know, that I get to choose who's in my life and who's my lover and or who's not, because I don't. But it's clear to me that that would be, I don't know how I would do it. I don't know how I would be with somebody that is not self. I really don't. I don't know how. That would have to be a massive lesson sent to me by inexplicable forces. I don't know how, or if I don't know, I don't know how, I don't know how I could ever do that again.
I think what people also don't realize is how much energy it takes to be out of true self. Like, to actually be in transference, distraction, in the wrong relationships that are constantly pulling you into the wrong thing, it's exhausting. Like, my body won't let me do that now. And I remember in the beginning of my experiment, when I like really was trying to get it and I was in my mental process about it, I would hear people say, your body will tell you. And I was like, oh, like, I can't wait for that to happen. And now I really get it, where it's like, my body will not let me because it will be so exhausting and draining that that will be the biggest thing. Even if I'm not paying attention to all the other stuff, that will biggest thing. It takes so much energy to try to hold the frequency of the not self. It takes so much less energy to just be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for me, what's exhausting is because I practice rave psychology. I think it could be a little bit insufferable because I'm watching my lover's transference and distraction in real time. I'm watching it in real time. So there has to be a recognition there that I'm going to see that. Because it's not like I get off client calls and the rave psychology just disappears, you know. It's difficult. It can be really difficult. And, you know, the difference is the awareness, right? If you have a relationship, a romantic relationship with somebody and they're like, I'm distracted right now. We shouldn't talk about this. Or I'm transferred right now. Let's revisit this. That makes all the difference. I mean, that increases the viability of a relationship by at least 50%.
Wouldn't that be great if everyone could do that?
Would. You know me. You know me. It's that's where we have to get to as a type, though. That's where projectors have to get to as a type. If you're a projector and you want to be a good partner, you want to be a viable, true self partner, you have to, you need to learn how to watch your mind, watch your distraction, watch your transference. Because you can, this is something that I've watched, is you, as a projector, you get to a point of correctness in your personality frequency that you can't even end up on the same geometry as somebody that is distorted. Because it'll just repel. It'll just repel. So if you want, you know, this is the personal work that you do. If you want to attract a partner that is correct, you have to have a personality that's at the right frequency. You have to be in your motivation. You have to be in your view. And then that can happen. If you're, you know, if you're the, if you have some serendipity, you end up with somebody that's already there and then they help you. Like there is that serendipity that could happen. That's a big piece for projectors, I think.
Yeah. What is the difference between a projector who's in relationship with someone who's aware, who can say, hey, you sound a little distracted right now, you know, should we take some space? Should we this? Is this what you need? Versus someone who will bait you into it. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Sound good. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Everything got like hot. The mutation was just too hot.
It's too hot.
It's too hot.
I think that's a good place to end. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And next episode, we'll get into the spicy topics that we could cover.
Here for it.
Next episode is going to be spicier, so stay tuned, everybody.
Thank you.